We are working on a sermon series specific to Methodism and to our beliefs and our traditions, to what John Wesley offered the church. And we began last week with what Wesley believed was the purpose of our faith, that the purpose of our faith is the renewal of the image of God in us. In faith, we are restored with perfect freedom and trust. In faith, we are those that will take leadership to care for creation and for God's creatures. And in faith, we are to love others as God loves us. Now, this morning, I'm going to read to you two scriptures. This is the scripture that John Wesley used to preach about original sin, and this is from Genesis 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And then from the Gospel of Mark, again, the very first chapter, the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, John has been put in prison, no longer out proclaiming repentance to the people. And Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And he says, "The time has come near," Jesus said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the word of God for us, the people of God today. Thanks be to God. So this little girl was crying. She was really upset with her brother, so she said she was just going to do some mean things to him. She was treating him very badly, so badly that he went crying to his mother. And the mother looked at her and asked, "Mary, why have you let Satan put it in your heart to pull the hair and kick the shins of your little brother?" And the little girl thought for a moment and said, "Well, Mother, maybe Satan did put it in my heart to pull his hair, but kicking his shins was all my idea." Sin is alienation from God and from others. The Greek word for sin literally means to miss the mark. It's that term that's used in archery when you're sending a bow out to a target. When you miss the target, you are in sin. We sin when we miss the mark in understanding what it is to have a loving relationship with God and with others. So this morning, I'm going to begin by sharing some historical facts about the life of John Wesley. I'm going to use some excerpts from some of Wesley's sermons to illuminate his understanding of sin. And lastly, we're going to hear what Wesley believed God offers as a remedy for sin. Okay, all with me? So John Wesley grew up in an interesting household. He was the 15th of 19 children. Imagine that. At the age of 5, John Wesley was rescued from a window in his family home, which was on fire. The home burned to the ground. Later on, he believed that he had been delivered from that fire by God for a specific reason. And he used this scripture from Zechariah. He said, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Is this man not a brand plucked from the fire?" Well, John's mother, Susanna Wesley, was a woman of great faith and also great energy with 19 children. And she woke John up and would get him up in the morning at 7:30. That was his time to spend with her so that she could teach him matters of faith. Now, she made an appointment with each one of her kids to do this on a daily basis. Now, Susanna and Samuel, John's father's name was Samuel, and he was a reverend in the Anglican Church. He was a preacher. But Susanna and Samuel had this really rocky relationship, and it was really primarily over their very deeply differing political beliefs. They were constantly on different sides of the political spectrum. John was ordained in the Anglican Church, and after his ordination, he set out on this missionary trip to come to America and landed in Savannah, Georgia, and spent some time doing ministry there, where he failed miserably. He got into a personal scuffle over Sophie Hopke. Now, Sophie Hopke was a woman that he had romantic interest in. He had met her on the boat coming over from England. And after she married another man, he refused to serve her communion in church. So, yeah, really. So, there was a church trial. And John realized that never again would he gain the respect of the people of Savannah, and so he returned back home to England. Well, back in England, he fell in love with a woman named Grace Murray, but he actually asked her to marry him, and she accepted. But what happened was Charles was upset that John might not be able to keep up with his ministry if he got married, so he went to talk her out of it, and she wound up marrying another one of John's friends, actually one of his preachers. His name was John Bennett, so John Bennett and Miss Mary went and lived happily ever after. Wesley was devastated. Later on, it ended up that John married a widow, a woman by the name of Molly Vizel, and they had a terribly rocky marriage, and she was kind of a source of contention for him continually. She had a difficult time keeping up with his life in ministry. So there's some of the personal experience that John Wesley had in his life that certainly played into his reflection about how God was acting in his life. John Wesley believed that Scripture was primary, but experience played a big part. You know, that time of what it is. He was very practical. He was a practical religious man. He believed that we should be able to apply our faith in practical ways. So he included these personal experiences and these relationships that he had to develop his beliefs about God. We learn from reading in his journals that after that failed missionary trip to America, after that was the moment in which his heart was strangely warmed, his Aldersgate experience. When he finally received the Holy Spirit within his heart to understand that Jesus Christ had died for his sins alone. So there was great repentance going on in his heart. Although I have to say, a year later in his journal, after Aldersgate, he actually wrote in that journal that even though he had received the Holy Spirit, he did not yet believe that he was a Christian because he did not have any of the fruits of the Spirit in his life. He didn't have peace and joy and love and self-control and all of those fruits that are listed in Scripture. And so he was still very, you know, working very hard at his relationship with God even after that heartwarming experience. Well, let's talk about original sin for a minute. So Christians believe that original sin is that human condition that happened when humanity, and I'm talking about Adam and Eve, overstepped their boundaries. They wanted to be like God, and so they reached for that fruit from the tree of knowledge. Even though God had forbidden it, they wanted to know everything that God knew, so they reached and took that apple and ate from that apple. We call this particular experience, we call this the fall. We call that original sin and the fall. And it's the human condition that every human is born in the world with. We are all born with that original sin, that we have that ability to overreach our bounds and try and take something that God has not yet given us. Well, for Wesley, original sin includes those sins that are the result of unbelief, pride, and self-will. He used that scripture from Genesis that I read to assert that the evil state of humankind begins with a turning away from God that leads to the human choice of separation from God. Wesley used the term natural state, which means that humanity and anything that humanity does outside of the acceptance of the grace of God. So anything that we do outside of accepting God's grace, he used the term natural state. And we are all born with this human condition. It allows us to live apart from God if that's what we choose. Pride for Wesley, he defined as, and he states it like this: I will do my own will and pleasure apart, independently of my Creator. I will do my own will and pleasure apart, independently of my Creator. So pride was part of that original sin. Well, along with original sin, Wesley believed there was also something called actual sin. Wesley believed that the guilt of sin was ours alone. It wasn't just something that was left over from our ancestors. He said, no one is damned for Adam's sins alone. He said, actual sins are those things that we do when we focus on our own happiness, many times acting out of fear rather than love. Think about that, the times that you have acted out of fear rather than acting out of love. Wesley would further distinguish four different ways that actual sin develops in our lives, and I'm going to read you a couple excerpts from a sermon titled The New Birth. The first type of actual sin he would call the sins of infirmity. Wesley would often use therapeutic language about our sin. He described infirmity of human nature, or he would call it the leprosy of the soul. Sins of infirmity include sin that develops from the defects of our human limitations. Things that develop from our human... They're involuntary failings, things that sometimes we can't help at. This may include saying something that is not true and then later on learning the truth. How many have ever done that before, right? Saying something that's not true and then learning the truth later. Or maybe hurting a neighbor without even knowing it, even if what we did was intended for good, right? Sometimes that can happen too. We can think we're helping someone and actually hurting them. The second kind of actual sin was called an unpreventable sin. And this included anything beyond our power to prevent. Something like missing a family dinner because you're ill. Anything that we couldn't prevent. Something that we wouldn't do if we had the choice. Wesley would say it's the attitude of the heart that counts. An eager desire to give, and then God will be accepting. And actually, there is no condemnation for either sins of infirmity or the unpreventable sins. There's no condemnation in those sins because there's no choice. Okay? Then there were, the third category was sins of surprise, he called them. For example, you are usually a very patient, calm person, right? But you find yourself speaking or acting in a way that violates your command to love your neighbor as yourself. Some kind of sudden emotion or temptation has come forth, and so you say or speak something or act in some way that violates that command to love your neighbor. Well, we can't say that people are condemned for something that is uncharacteristic behavior, but sometimes one falls into the danger because maybe they could have prevented it. And if they could have prevented it, then it's a willful sin, and it exposes the sinner to condemnation both from God and from our own conscience. Anyone ever have that happen? Something happen and you do something you really wished you hadn't, and it just sits there on your conscience for ages and ages. The last kind of actual sin that Wesley described were called sins of disobedience. And these, Wesley states, are not sins of condemnation for those who are weak in faith. If you don't have the faith to believe or feel a godly sorrow, understand that God has compassion on all of his children. Okay, and so God is going to forgive you even if your faith isn't strong enough to overcome this kind of disobedience. There was a term that Wesley often used. It was called a backslider. How many heard that term? He would say that there were backsliders. Those people that, even though they are fully convinced that they cannot save themselves, so they know they need God, but yet they don't believe that God will save them. They believe that God has They believe that God has shut off his loving kindness in displeasure. Okay? They can't have any hope for any kind of deliverance for the situation that they're in. Now, backsliders will often get caught up in the sin of unbelief and disobedience. Okay. So here's the thing. Wesley believed that God was always at work rooting out the sin in our lives. Always at work rooting out the sin in our lives. And that God would do that in and through this gift of Jesus Christ, who sent the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within us, this risen Christ that would exist in our midst, so that we could see God's hope for us to live full and human and rich and healthy lives, so that we wouldn't live lives of misery, but live fully as God wanted us, loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And that the way that the Holy Spirit works at rooting in our lives is very Methodist. Because John Wesley believed what? In encountering Christ through reading Scripture, encountering Christ through prayer, encountering Christ in worship, encountering Christ in the Lord's Supper, encountering Christ through faithful spiritual friendships. But Wesley believed that we are the ones who are responsible, we're responsible for the way that we respond to this grace of God that comes into our lives. Sin happens when we don't trust God, when we don't have faith. Sin happens when we ignore God's grace. Lovett Weems runs the Center for it's the Lewis Center for Leadership up at Wesley Seminary. And he states that Wesley was very pessimistic about human beings being caught up in original sin, that was a state that we could not escape. But he was equally optimistic about the possibilities in responding to God's grace to eliminate the actual sin in our lives. That our response to God's grace would allow that Spirit to move in and root out any actual sin in our lives. That is such great news. Amen? Amen. Now today, if we are to be a church that stands apart from this collective sin of society, right? We're all living in a society that's caught up in many kinds of actual sin. But we need first to get honest about our own sin, the actual sin in our individual lives. We do a really good job of trying to hide it, trying to keep it under the carpet, or try to make it look like something else, right? You know what I wish? You know how they have in the airport security, you got to put your luggage through, and then you got to walk through the scanner, you got that special sensor? Wouldn't it be nice if there was a machine that could examine us as we walk through the door of the church or the door of our home, and that could tell us where our sin is located, right? Because sometimes we don't even know where our sin is located. We think it's something else instead of sin. We could call it a sin sensor. How's that? The sin sensor could detect any resistance that we had to God. Any resistance at all. ma'am, step over here. You can't take that with you. If you want to get to God's love, that's not going. Wouldn't it be nice if they could say, leave that resentment over there in that receptacle? That bad memory you're clinging on to, sir, that baggage can't go where you're going? Or how about anger? You know, most of us want to do that Tim the Tool Man thing and fix it, right? We want to fix it when we're angry. Maybe all that we need to do is listen. Listen to God and listen to others. Once we acknowledge the sin that we carry, then we can let God's Word and God's people shape us, turn us purple. Just like the bag that doesn't pass through the sensor at the airport and needs to be dumped out to find the weapon that's hiding in it, we too need to empty ourselves out to reveal the weapons that we hide. We need to dump out all of our stuff that keeps us in sin and respond to the grace of God that will fill our emptiness. The good news of the grace of God reminds us that there is always more grace in God than there is sin in us. There is always more grace in God than there is sin in us. Where sin increases, grace increases. Okay? That's from Romans. That's scripture. That's the fifth chapter in Romans. It says if sin increases, you can imagine that grace is going to increase. Wesley believed that Jesus Christ came as the great physician to save our leprous souls. And he concludes his sermon on sin with these words. Know your disease and know your cure. You were born in sin, and therefore you must be born again, born by God. By nature we were wholly corrupted. By grace we shall be wholly renewed. In Adam we all died. In Christ we are all made alive. You that were dead in sin have been quickened by him who loved you and gave himself for you. Now go on from faith to faith until your whole sickness be healed. All that mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Those are good words from John Wesley. By grace, we will be renewed. Our response to the grace of God is simple. It came from our scriptures in Mark today. Repent. Turn back to Christ. Believe this good news, for the kingdom of God has come near. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are our iatros, that you are our great physician, that you can come in and root out the sin in our souls by the power of your Spirit. We ask that you continue to do a good work in us and open our eyes and open our hearts to receive all the grace that you have for us. May each time we understand and find ourselves in a moment of sin, may you help us to turn to you. May we acknowledge the grace that you have. May you fill us with true belief so that we may always look to you and live fully human, whole, reconciled with you, Lord, loving you, Lord, and loving one another. Amen.